Hey, good morning, guys. It's Dan Mum doing the call for Rick today, Success Center trainer here at St. Rose. I'll be starting in a couple minutes here.
Thanks, Dan.
Give it another minute or two. We'll probably have a few more people jump on the call a little bit late, so get started in a minute. Good morning. This is Dan. I'm doing the call for Rick today. I will be starting in a couple minutes. Just 1 or 2 minutes here. We'll get started.
Olga.
Rosie Price.
All right, let's do this. So today I'm going to be talking about something that I talked about at our most recent sales meeting at St. Rose a couple weeks ago. So if you were there, some of this might be repetitive, but some of it will be new as well. So one of the main things we talked about, and when we go over this today, I want your guys' input on a lot of this, so feel free to unmute yourself. Try and keep your phone on mute so that there's no background noise. But I do have some questions here I want to hear from you guys on, so just feel free to unmute at any time and jump in and contribute. We'd love to hear what you have to say. So the question that I asked in the meeting that I'll ask you guys as well is this. If you look at every deal, for those of you who have been in the business, I know some of the people on the call are probably new, but if you look at every deal that you've done in the past year, so just look at 2018, let's say, and every single, hey, good morning, every single transaction that you've closed in the past year, and what I want you to think about is, think about everyone where it went really well, okay? So the client was extremely happy. They paid you a good commission. You enjoyed working with them. They were responsive. Everything was a breeze. So think about all of those deals and think about what do you think they have in common? Anyone have an idea? What's the one thing that probably all of those transactions have in common? So let me give you the opposite scenario. Maybe you can determine it this way. So if you look at every deal you closed in the last year where it was a terrible experience. I'm sorry, what was that?
The one thing they all had in common is they all closed.
They all closed. Well, yeah, there will be more to it. So think about this scenario and you might get closer to the answer. So if you think about every deal you had that was a terrible experience where, you know, the customer was a pain in the butt, you guys didn't get along, they wanted to reduce your commission, they didn't take any of your suggestions or recommendations. They were hard to get along with. They were very unresponsive. What do you think all of those clients had in common in that case? I want to hear what your guys' thoughts on this are, so let me know what you think. All right, well, let me give you my idea, and then we'll go from there. Maybe we can get some of your thoughts afterwards. My idea on this is every customer who you have who is generally easy to work with and the transactions go smoothly and they pay you a full commission, the most likely thing that they all have in common is that they have a high level of motivation, okay? Whereas the ones that were a pain in the butt, you guys didn't get along, they were not responsive, they wanted to reduce your commission, what I'm guessing most of those customers had in common is that they were not very motivated. So that's what we'll talk about today is motivation is the holy grail of real estate. It determines how much you get paid and how likely you are to get paid on any deal is how motivated the customer is. So first we're going to talk about why it's important. Then I'm going to give you some good practical tips on how to find out if someone's actually motivated or not. So here's a question. What's more important, setting an appointment or finding out if someone's motivated? When we talk about generating leads and generating business and what you guys hear about all the time is appointments, appointments, appointments. And that's good. There's definitely an importance to setting appointments. You need to have that skill set of actually closing and getting a verbal commitment from someone. But I don't know if it's actually more important than someone's motivation. So let me give you this example. Let's say you have these two options. I want to know which one of these you'd rather have. Option A is I can give you an appointment with someone, so they'll definitely agree to meet with you. They will set a certain time. They will 100% meet with you, but they have absolutely zero motivation to buy or sell real estate. They will never buy or sell a house, ever. Obviously, there's not a whole lot of value of that. There's still some value because you still want to build your network, et cetera, but that's probably not the best option. Whereas option B, let's say option B is this. You don't have an appointment, but you have the name, you have the phone number, and you have the address, and I tell you this person's definitely going to sell their house in the next 30 days. Obviously, you would rather have that than have the appointment, right? So that the point that I'm trying to communicate here is that motivation is senior to everything else when it comes to selling. It's the when you're on the phone and you're prospecting or you're holding an open house or anything that you're doing to generate business, the number one thing that should be going through your mind is that you are seeking out motivation. You're seeking out people who have a need to buy or sell. That's the most important thing. Appointments are also important, but they're not as senior as motivation. So, and the other point to that is people who are really motivated generally aren't that hard to get an appointment with anyway. If someone really needs to sell their house and you sound good, you're using the scripts, you sound confident, that person's probably not going to be very difficult to get an appointment with. Sometimes maybe in an extreme circumstance like an expired or for sale by owner, but generally that should be pretty easy. So we should be looking for motivation first. Now, how do you actually find it? Well, in real estate, there's a lot of different skills that we need, right? We always talk about the different skills that you have to have. So some of the skills in our business are presenting, negotiating contracts, preparing comps, pricing property, getting price reductions, knowing the scripts, prospecting, staffing, delegation, time management. All of these things are different skills that are involved in our business. But there's one skill in particular that's the absolute most important skill that's senior to all of the other ones. Okay, and the most important skill that we have that really separates the beginner salespeople versus the ones who are more experienced is the skill of extracting motivation and doing it quickly. Now, the higher skill level, when you're at the professional skill level, this you can find out whether someone's serious or not very, very quickly. People who are brand new in the business, who are just starting, they take a long time to figure out if someone's serious or not. Okay, so here's a test. Here's a test where you can figure out how good are you at this skill. Let's say I take a stranger off the street, someone right outside your office. I just stand outside on the street corner and I wave people down. And I put a stranger in the same room as you. They don't know you. They don't trust you. They're not likely to really talk to you unless you are good at asking questions. And I say, hey, John, you have 2 minutes with this person. Okay? You have 2 minutes with this stranger. And your goal is to determine with 100% certainty whether or not this person will buy or sell a house in the next 30 days. And you have 2 minutes with them. They're probably not going to answer your questions unless you do a good job building rapport. You can ask them whatever you want. Go ahead and do it. The question is, could you do that or could you not do it? It's not easy, and most people don't have that skill. So what does it look like when you don't have that ability? Well, people who are inexperienced or don't have the skill, they take a long time to figure out if someone's serious. It drags out over a bunch of phone calls. They're sending cards in the mail every week. They're dropping off pumpkins at the people's house every day. They're emailing them. They're sending them comps. They're doing multiple presentations. They're spending hours with this person. It drags out over a year. And then eventually the customer stops answering them, and the agent gets frustrated and realizes this person's not very serious. Whereas the more experienced and the skilled person, they determined in 2 minutes on one phone call that this person wasn't serious or that they were. And they either set an appointment or they moved on in that first 2 minutes. Okay, so how do you do that? I'm going to give you guys some tips on how do you actually figure out if someone's serious or not. But real quick first, I just want to go over the benefits of working with motivated clients. You guys, these are things you probably already know if you've been in the business for a good amount of time. But if you don't, this will be a good reminder. So motivated buyers and sellers. Motivated buyers will offer higher prices, okay? What you'll hear from a buyer who's highly motivated, they'll say things like, well, Dan, tell me how much you think we should offer. Or they'll just say, well, let's just offer the full list price. Whereas an unmotivated buyer is going to want to offer less. Obviously, they're looking for a deal. Motivated buyers will sign buyer brokerage agreements. They might have an objection, usually not, but motivated buyers, without doubt, will sign a buyer brokerage agreement. I've never closed a buyer in my career ever who, when I met with them, they refused to sign a buyer brokerage agreement. I've never had someone refuse to sign it and then end up doing business with them. That's never happened. And with sellers, the same thing. Motivated sellers will answer your pre-qualifying questions. I've never had a seller, every seller I've ever closed in my career, and I'm being humble here, but I've closed a good amount, every single one that I've ended up closing, none of them refused to answer any questions. I might have stopped asking questions because I was scared in certain cases, to be very honest with you, but none of them actually ended up closing who refused to answer any of the questions. Motivated sellers will have a realistic understanding of their home's value before they even meet with you. So before you even talk to them, motivated sellers already have a more realistic understanding of how much their home is worth. Why is that? Does anyone have an idea about that?
Because they researched on it.
Exactly. Yeah, someone who's more motivated has already started to look into these things. And the paradigm in which they see the value is different because someone who needs to sell is not looking to rip someone off or get a ridiculous price. They're looking at it through the paradigm of what's a realistic price that will cause it to sell reasonably quickly, okay? So motivated sellers list their homes at more aggressive prices. They're easier to communicate with, buyers or sellers. They're going to be more responsive. They'll respond to you faster. They reduce their prices faster if they're overpriced. So they're not going to just say, hey, why don't we try reducing it $2,000 or $3,000? They're more likely to agree to a bigger reduction. The biggest benefit, in my opinion, the one that I like the most with motivated sellers see more value in a full service or a full commission agent, which is you, should be you, if you're running your business correctly. Motivated sellers pay more commission, period. That's one of the biggest lessons that you guys can take away from today. The more motivated someone is, the more likely they are to pay a higher commission. The less motivated someone is, the more likely it is they're going to want a discount on the commission. Why is that? Does anyone have any ideas on that?
Because they're motivated.
Right. So someone that's motivated, if you think about it this way, someone who's motivated doesn't really care so much about the commission. Their senior objective is getting the home sold. Now, obviously,
their sense of urgency is what I meant. I'm sorry.
Right. That's correct. So someone who's motivated is their main objective is to get the home sold. Their main objective is not to get a certain price. Obviously, there's a spectrum here, but the more motivated someone is, the more likely they are to pay a full commission. Okay, so that's one of the biggest reasons you guys should be targeting people. If you think about it this way, and this is true no matter what market you're in, people who are discount agents, people who charge less, who they're attracting unmotivated buyers and sellers. That's why you shouldn't operate on that business model. The people who attract the most motivated buyers and sellers are full commission agents. If you charge less and that's your way of getting business, you're going to attract people who are not that serious. And the analogy I always give is, if you're golfing for the first time, you've never golfed before, you're not going to go out and buy a $3,000 set of golf clubs, right? If you're just trying it out, testing it out, testing the market, like our clients say, if you're just testing the market, you're just going to, you know, go for the cheapest option because you don't want to commit to something. But if you're really serious about it, you're going to want to get the best product. So the same thing applies to us. Now, just some other benefits, and then we'll talk about how to find out if people are motivated. Motivated customers will refer you more business. They're more likely to write you a review online on websites like Zillow. They're going to be happier and more grateful for your service. They'll just be easier and more friendly people to work with. They'll definitely take your recommendations seriously, and they'll implement them. So if you have a motivated seller, they'll listen to you when you tell them what they need to do to sell the house. They'll listen to you. Same thing with the buyer. When they're not motivated, they're just going to kind of want to do their own thing. They won't see much value in what you have to say. They're going to keep their home cleaner and more presentable if they're more motivated. They're going to be more respectful of your time. This is the biggest one, actually. Someone who's motivated, you'll always hear motivated customers say things like this, and I'm sure you guys have heard this. you'll hear them say, well, I don't want to waste your time, or I want to be respectful of your time, or, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Whereas an unmotivated buyer or seller, they'll take as much of your time as they want, and they'll never say anything like that. You guys have all had that happen. I've had that happen. Unmotivated customers don't really have as much respect for your time. They'll pay higher commissions. They make decisions faster. Motivated buyers and sellers tend to be more business-minded, and that's good for you because they're more valuable as future clients. And then the last thing here is that they're going to be more reasonable when it comes to negotiating contracts. The entire process will be easier when it comes to repair responses, inspection responses, appraisals. The entire process will be easier the more motivated your buyer or seller is. So that being said, now you guys understand the value of why it's important. How do you find out if someone's serious about buying or selling? The number one way – hey, guys, just make sure to mute your phones. The number one way that I talk about that I don't think is talked about enough at all in our business, the best way to figure out if someone is serious or not is by asking hard questions. Okay, not soft questions, but hard questions. Hard questions get you to the truth faster. And that's what we're looking for is the truth, right? In our business, none of us should be trying to convince someone to do something that they don't want to do. If you run your business that way, it's going to be very frustrating for you. I know some people think, oh, I can make anyone do what they want. I'm the best salesperson. That's not correct. That's not a good business mindset. As a business person, your mindset should be, I'm looking for the people who already have a need for what I have to offer, and I'm just looking to find those people, and I'm going to convince those people, rather than trying to convince people who don't want what I have to want what I have. That's the best way to run your business. So really the key then is I just need to find the truth. If someone doesn't want to buy or sell, that's fine. I want to just figure that out as fast as I can so that I can refocus my time on people who do need to buy or sell. So the hard questions get you to that truth faster. And a good example of this is a perfect example. Let's say you have an unmotivated seller, okay? So you have someone that, you know, they're kind of thinking of maybe selling if they get a ridiculous price, and they don't have any strong need to do it. They don't have any strong timeline. They just kind of have this idea in their mind that they may eventually do, okay? So they're unmotivated, which is fine. They're not a bad person. They just don't have a strong need to sell. Now, let's say you ask that person a soft question. Let's say you don't ask them a good hard question. Let's say you ask them a soft question. And a soft question would sound like this. Hey, Dan, do you think it's maybe possible in the next year or so you might potentially consider selling, maybe? Let's say you ask that question that way. What do you think they would say to that?
Maybe.
They would likely say yes. Yeah, they would say maybe. Yeah, maybe. We maybe might consider that, right? Now, let's say you ask that person a hard question. Let's say you ask them a good, strong, hard, qualifying question. You said, hey, Dan, how soon do you need to move? Or when we meet, are you ready to put your home on the market? Let's say you ask one of those two questions. What do you think they would say then?
They would give a definite answer.
Yeah, and they would probably say, no, I'm not ready to put my home on the market at all, and we don't need to move at all. We're not serious about selling. So that's a perfect illustration. If you ask a hard question, you'll get a completely different answer. You'll get to the truth immediately. Whereas if you ask a soft question, you're muddling in the middle of this ambiguous, unclear area of truth and untruth. Whereas if we ask a hard question, it's like turning a light on in a room and immediately tells us what situation we have going on. So that's the benefit of asking hard questions. They uncover motivation more effectively. They accelerate how fast you can determine if someone's a lead or not. So the way you should be thinking about it, you guys, what we're doing on an everyday basis, we're working as filters. I'm just trying to filter through people quickly. No, 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 yes. No, 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 yes, right? I'm not trying to store a bunch of maybes. I'm trying to figure out who's going to make a decision soon, identify those people. Now, I want to take it slow with those people. I want to make sure I build a relationship with them once I find them. But there's no need for us to continue kicking a can down the road with someone who's not going to end up doing anything. So the key with these hard questions, the reason why people avoid them is because they're scary. They create tension. They sometimes make you uncomfortable. But they actually relieve tension in the long term because they get you to the truth. They get you to a place of that makes sense, and they actually build trust. when you ask hard questions like this, it actually is attractive to buyers and sellers who are serious. So it's the same thing as working out. For some reason, people in real estate don't generally understand this, but when you go to the gym, if you spend an hour at the gym, let's say, and you're exercising and you don't do anything that's uncomfortable at all for the entire hour, if you don't get outside your comfort zone for 1 hour, how much progress do you think you're going to make if you continue to do that? Obviously, you're not going to make a lot, right? The whole goal with working out, you need to get uncomfortable to a degree. The same thing applies to what we do in real estate. If you're on the phone or you're presenting and you don't get to the point where you are a little bit uncomfortable in your presentation or on the phone with the questions that you're asking, then you're not doing it right. And people just don't understand this for some reason. You should be asking questions to the point where you are actually a little bit uncomfortable. There's a little bit of tension. If you're not doing that, you're not going far enough on the phone. You're not asking hard enough questions or you're not asking enough questions. If you're just having these la-di-da, friendly, blah, 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 sunshine and rainbows conversations, of course, every now and then you'll have a really easy deal. You might have a buyer seller who's just a breeze to work with and they're willing to tell you whatever the truth is and they're not going to give you any objections. But in general, if you're not really getting to the point of discomfort where there's a little bit of tension, you're probably not telling them the truth. You're probably not asking enough hard questions, or you're probably not asking enough questions. So you should keep this in mind in the next week when you guys are on the phone, you're in a presentation, you're at an open house, you're talking to customers. You should have the mindset of, I need to get to the point where I'm asking questions that push my comfort zone a little bit. Okay, so here's some real pragmatic tips. Here's some questions you can ask people. The number one question that I talked about last week at the sales meeting, which I really like, is how could you justify? I would write this down if you haven't asked this before. The question is, how could you justify? So the way you would ask this, it would sound something like this. You use this as a way to handle objections. So let's say they say the objection they give you is, well, Dan, we have someone who said they'll charge us less commission. The question you would ask them then would be, okay, so how could you justify paying a higher commission? Or let's say the objection is, hey, Dan, you know, we have another friend who's an agent, and we're probably going to use him when it comes to selling our house. So then the question would be, okay, great. Well, I respect that you have a friend in the business. I respect that relationship. But let me ask you this. How could you justify potentially using a different agent than your friend who's been in the business 10 years? Okay, so you might think about this and say, whoa, Dan, you're going to scare them off. You're going to make them not want to use you. Well, no, not really. This is a hard question. What it's going to do is it's going to reveal any leverage that already exists. If there's no leverage that already exists, if there's no chance that this person will ever use a different agent than their friend, then this question will bring that out. But most times that's not the case. When someone gives me this objection and they say, well, Dan, we're thinking about using a friend, and I say, okay, well, I respect you're thinking about that. How could you justify using someone different? Usually they don't say that they never will. Usually they give me an answer to that. They'll say, well, I don't know. I could justify it if the price was right, or if I felt like, you know, they were an expert, or if my friend wasn't going to do a good job for me. They'll give you a good answer to that. So here's some other examples of this. How could you justify using someone other than the property manager to sell the house if they have a property manager? Or how could you justify using someone other than the agent who helped you buy the house? How could you justify using someone other than your friend? How could you justify leaving the home you've been in for over 20 years? Maybe for someone who's downsizing. This is a great question to get to someone's motivation. Someone's been in a house for 20 years. They're really not clear, and if they're serious or not serious, they tell you they're downsizing. Okay, well, listen, I understand you've been in the house 20 years. It sounds like a beautiful home. It sounds like you've made it exactly the way you want it. So how could you justify leaving the home? If there's any motivation, it'll come out there. If there's no motivation and they say, well, Dan, I could never justify it. We're going to stay here forever. Well, then you know that this person's not motivated, right? So you're starting to understand why these questions are so effective, very powerful questions, which is what you want. Another example, how could you justify moving your kids in the middle of a school year? That's an objection that comes up, right? Well, our kids are in school. We don't want to move them. Okay, Dan, I understand your kids in school, and moving them can be a pain. So how could you justify doing that? Well, if we found the right house, or, you know, if we could sell our house for the right price, we'd do it. Okay, great. That's exactly why we need to meet. Or they could, again, say, well, we could never justify that. We would never move our kids in the middle of the school year. Well, then you know you have a condition and not an objection, right? So now you know you can't do anything with that person, which is good. Another example, how could you justify taking a large tax hit? you're talking about a rental property. How could you justify paying 15% in capital gains? How could you justify selling an asset that's generating cash flow for you? That's a good one. If someone's talking about selling a rental, you ask them, well, hey, what's going on with it? And they say, well, it's doing pretty well. It's making money. Okay, well, if it's making money, how could you justify selling it? If there's no answer to that, then there's no motivation, right? But there probably is an answer to that. If you ask that question, they'll probably give you an answer. Well, we could justify it because we have another property. We want to do a 1031 exchange, or there might be something else going on. Another great question, if someone says, well, we're not sure if we want to sell because we're going to end up taking a big loss on it. You know, we bought it for $400, now it's worth $300. Okay, wow, that's a big loss, and I respect that. So how could you justify selling it at such a big loss? Well, you know, we understand the market is what it is and we really have to move, blah, blah, blah. There you go. Now you just got an answer. Or they might say, well, we can never justify taking that big of a loss. We'll just stay until it's worth $400. Well, now you know that you can, you know, move this person to the side. Another just tip, a few more here I'll throw out, then we'll wrap up the call. If you have two decision makers, a good hard question, not really that hard, but this is a good solid question, is which one of you is more motivated? Okay, so if you have a husband and a wife, a good general question to ask this person if you're trying to extract motivation. Hey, John, it sounds like you and your wife are deciding on this together. Which one of you two is more motivated to sell? Which one of you two is more motivated to find a house to buy? It doesn't matter how they answer the question, by the way, whether they say it's him, whether they say it's her, whether they say it's both of them or neither of them. No matter what the answer is, this question will move you forward. It helps to uncover issues. It helps to extract motivation. And it just moves the ball down the field from a sales standpoint. Real quick, a few more, then we'll end the call here. Another good question that will uncover objections. What's holding you back from selling? What's holding you back from buying? If someone's giving you a stall and they're saying, well, we're thinking about it, we're thinking about it, we're thinking about it, and you've been following up for them, you've been following up with them for a while, you could ask, why now? Okay, Dan, it sounds like you've been thinking about buying or selling. What's making you think about doing it now? Well, nothing really. We don't need to do it now. Okay, well, now you know they're not motivated. Or they might give you a reason that you're looking for. Another great question if you have a commission objection. If the commission were the same, which agent would you use? So that's when they say, well, Dan, we're thinking about using John. He said he would charge us less. Okay, well, I respect that you're thinking about using someone else and their commission is less. What about if the commission were the same? Which realtor would you use? If you ask that question, they'll probably say you if you've done everything correctly up until that point. And if they say you, then the next question would be, okay, well, I respect that and I appreciate that. So why is that? Well, Dan, we'd use you because, I mean, it seems like you're professional. It seems like you know what you're doing and you've sold a home nearby, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. Well, now you know why I charge more, right? We could talk more about that later. Do you still need to sell or buy? This is the way you should be following up. This is a good, hard question. If you're following up with a buyer or a seller, you shouldn't be asking, hey, has anything changed? Just checking in. How are things going? Blah, blah, blah. That doesn't advance you at all, right? That doesn't help you. That doesn't move the ball forward. If I'm following up with a real lead, meaning someone who's identified as likely to buy or sell soon, not someone who's going to do something in 3 years, but soon, if I'm following up with them, the first question should be, hey, John, this is Dan with Berkshire Hathaway. I spoke with you last week about your home on Main Street. I was calling to see if you still need to sell. Or, hey, John, this is Dan. I met you at the open house last week. I was calling to see if you still needed to buy a house. Now, I know this is scary. I know you're saying, oh, what if they say they don't need to? That's fine. If they don't need to, they'll say, well, Dan, we don't need to, but we're still looking to. Great. That's still okay. We just want to use a hard question because it'll help us filter out those unmotivated buyers and sellers faster. Another quick example here, if you're qualifying someone, is there any reason you wouldn't be ready to list your home when we meet? If you're unable to really figure out if this person's motivated or not, that's a great one. Hey, John, is there any reason you wouldn't be ready to list your home when I meet with you on Thursday? Or for a buyer, hey, John, when we meet on Thursday, is there any reason you wouldn't be ready to write an offer if we found you the right house? That's a good, hard question that'll reveal objections. And then real quick, last one here. When you're asking about a realtor relationship, one that I really like is, which realtor were you planning to use to help you? Okay, which, instead of asking, do you have a realtor? The worst question in real estate is, do you have a realtor? Because we know everyone has a realtor. Everyone generally knows someone, right? It's been statistically proven. So the question that I like is, which realtor were you planning to use? That'll help draw out a name, give me something specific. And if they don't have someone, then they'll say, well, we don't really have someone, and then you'll get to the truth faster. So that's it for today, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Ask those hard questions, get uncomfortable, let me know how it goes, and I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dan.